Dog Works Radio Network presents Mushing Radio, hosted by Robert Forto. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Mushing Radio here on KVRF 89.5 in the Mattsu Valley. RadioFreePalmer.org is our live streaming site. You can find all of our episodes over on iTunes. Search for Dog Works Radio as well as on DogWorksRadio.com. And search for the same name on all the social media sites, and you can get right to us. And calling in today from Southern California is our co-host for Mushing Radio. His name is Alex Stein. Alex, how's it going?
It's going great, Robert. Had a pretty eventful 4th of July. I don't know how it is up there because it doesn't get as dark. But down here, we had so many people setting off fireworks. There were the formal fireworks and then just a lot of people setting off fireworks everywhere. So it sounded really, really loud for a long time.
You know, they do the same thing up here. It's interesting because fireworks only legal in the little tiny town of Houston, which is about 7 square miles, but they have 4 or 5 fireworks stands in that little area, and they are packed to the gills with everybody buying those fireworks and then, of course, setting them off illegally everywhere else. And, you know, fireworks and dogs don't always go very well, but our dogs seem to be okay. We've got 4 brand new sled dog puppies out in the kennel, and they were raising a ruckus, howling and carrying on during the fireworks noises. But everybody seemed to be all right. But it's interesting because it does not get dark up here on the 4th of July. So I don't know exactly what they're hoping to see. Maybe it's all just a bang for their buck.
Yeah. And, you know, we've seen on Facebook people were posting some photos and just after midnight in there, you can see a little bit of light in the sky, but the sky is still very, very light. So, as you said, it doesn't quite have the same effect when it's light out instead of dark.
Right, that's exactly right. But otherwise, you know, it's a good time to have day off, you know, spend time with your family, take that vacation, whatever you're trying to do, and, of course, wait until it starts snowing here when the real fun starts.
Right. But you've been having some weather up there. You said it's been raining a lot there recently.
It has. You know, that's pretty typical up here in the summer. We'll get 4 or 5 days of rain, and then it'll, you know, be very nice and sunny, and, you know, all the flowers will bloom. But we're getting into that rainy season, and for folks that are getting ready for fall training, it's almost always in the pouring down rain and in the mud. But we look forward to it. And Alex, just now calling in as our guest today, her name is Cindy Abbott. Let me pull her up here. Hi, Cindy. Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Hi, Cindy. We are already on the air here, and I'm on with Alex. He's calling in from California. You're calling in from California as well. Is that right?
Yeah, I just got home a couple days ago.
I know, and you have been on the show a couple of times, and I know you have a very long commute as a dog musher, don't you?
Yeah, I certainly do, something like 2,600 miles, but I'm working on changing that right now.
That's right. So before we jump into some questions, Cindy, can you please tell us, you know, a quick bio, who you are, what you're all about, and then we'll jump into what I want to talk to you about today is your documentary that was just released over on all of the streaming sites, iTunes, Amazon Prime, and all of those. And we definitely got to do a little bit of a Q&A about that. So go ahead and tell us who you are, Cindy.
That's a whole show in itself. You know that, Robert.
Of course.
So I am 37 years old. 37, I wish. I'm 57 years old. And in 2007, I was diagnosed with a very rare fatal disease called Wagner's granulomatosis. That was the same year I decided to climb Mount Everest. And after I got diagnosed and started treating, I ended up summiting Mount Everest in 2010. And then I started training in 2011. I took up dog sled mushing. And in 2015, I finished my first Iditarod, and I was the Red Lantern, which I'm very proud of. And I just retired from teaching health science at Cal State Fullerton. And we bought property up in Willow, Alaska this winter. And our new house in Willow is under construction right now.
Awesome stuff. So, Alex, jump in with the first question, and we'll go like we usually do, one question from you, one question from me, and see where we go.
Okay. Well, first of all, Cindy, it's great to talk to you again. I noticed that you won a bunch of stuff at the picnic. You won some bowls, but more importantly, you won the raffle as one of the people who got your entry fee back. And I was wondering, now that you're a veteran, now that you've finished the race, how did it feel to you to be at the picnic this year as opposed to previous years?
You know, that's a great question, Alex, because it did feel totally different. Now that I am no longer a rookie and have actually finished Iditarod, it's as if I'm part of the family now, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Were there autocraft hounds out there looking for Cindy Abbott, or are you still, you know, one of those that can still stand in the shadow and be okay with that?
Oh, I'm okay back in the shadows for sure. I don't know how to answer that one. The teachers were there, though. You know, the teachers on the trail sort of gave me away.
Ah.
Right. You know, when people go there, they get really excited. It's almost, at least when I've gone, it's almost like a who's who at the picnic. Everybody's seeking out, you know, the big names, the Dallases and the Allies and the Lances and all of that. And then you have everyone else who kind of commingles together, and they have their own little fan network. And like you said, typically it is, you know, the teachers, they know everyone because they follow it like mad. But you have a special place with those teachers. I know that you work with them quite a bit over at Vern Halter's place. What is that experience like for you there? And how does that help with your planning, with your experience and that, with the Iditarod, now that you have almost this, you know, kind of a full season type job, you know, in the summer with the teachers and then, of course, in the winter with all of the mushing going on?
Well, the first thing is we're all teachers, and being a teacher myself really helps me understand where their needs are or where they're coming from as far as their goals and bringing it into their classrooms. And then being a musher that's actually completed the Iditarod now, it's sort of a really unique combination of me being able to give them what they need for what they're looking for, resources, and then just bonding with them. And then they're going to go home to all the lower 48 and start spreading the word to literally thousands and thousands of students. And so it's pretty amazing interaction that we get that first 4 days at Vern Halter's kennel, you know, working. You know, I go through everything, the details of the race, my experiences, and then I gave him this awesome math problem. I actually gave him a scenario where they had to figure out when I was going to arrive in McGrath based on some details I gave them. So, yeah, it took them like a day and a half in groups of four to calculate out when I would actually arrive in McGrath. And they loved it because that's what they're going to do. They're going to incorporate the real-life race into their classrooms.
Right. Alex?
So, Cindy, I'm wondering, since you very clearly seem to have caught the mushing bug, because it wasn't enough for you to do it once or twice, and it wasn't enough for you to do it and finish it, and you're coming back, and you're going to be doing this again, and you're going to be moving up to Willow there, what is different for you now as someone who has not only an Iditarod finish under your belt, but a lot more racing and a lot more, you know, just being with the dogs and a lot more being on the back of a sled than you had 3 or 4 years ago.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question, Robert.
What's different for you now, now that you have all of these experiences under your belt, than it was, you know, 3 years ago when you, or 4 years ago when you said, I'm just going to go and do this?
Oh, well, there's a couple of things. First of all, the freedom of being able to actually retire and having a wonderful husband that's willing to move to Alaska. So I have that a lot more freedom in pursuing this, a lot more confidence in it, a lot, like you said, I'm more miles under the runners. And then just my relationship with the dogs and then the people there. You know, I've really gotten to be good friends with a lot of people in the mushing world and Alaska. And I can't think of a better place to go and live.
Right. You know, Cindy, if we can jump into your documentary for a bit, it's, as we just mentioned, it's just released over on the streaming sites, iTunes and Amazon and whatnot. It's called Banner on the Moon. It was just released, I guess, was it last month? Is that right?
Correct.
So in the documentary, you guys spend quite a bit of time. I guess it's sort of, I don't know, maybe half and half of pre-Iditarod and then during Iditarod, post-Iditarod types. And there was a very poignant moment in there where your husband said, all along, we did things together. And then all of a sudden, she's doing her own thing. And I believe that that started with Everest, with him unable to go or not wanting to go on the Everest trip. And then you sort of, you know, turned face and all of a sudden jumped into this dog mushing thing. And for all that time, you guys did it together. What was that switch? What was that deciding factor where you said, you know, I can do this on my own, or I have to do this on my own, and I'm going to have to do this myself?
Well, I never looked at it as either one of those two things. We had already always planned on doing Everest Base Camp together, but as we climbed some of the big mountains in the world together, he reached his realization of tolerance, we'll just say, because big mountain climbing is a lot of suffering. And he just learned his point of tolerance for that. And everybody has to respect that. Everybody has their limit. So that's why he didn't go do Everest with me. And then after Everest, again, we always do everything together. But mushing, again, is another solo sport. And so he would come up, and he loves the environment. He loves being at the races. He loves being with the dogs. But he really has no interest in actually driving a sled himself. So it's not like I'm doing it alone. He's with me, whether in spirit or physically.
Okay. Alex?
So getting back to the documentary, I know that it took a long time for this documentary to get put together, and I'm wondering now that it's done, What are your feelings about it? Have you watched it recently, or what do you think about it now as opposed to, you know, when you were going through it?
You know what I'm finding out is that it's having an unexpected effect on just regular folks. We went into a restaurant yesterday, you know, one we go to, you know, regularly, and the waitress came running up to me, hugging me, saying she just watched it last night, and, you know, now she'll never complain about all these little aches and pains and things that she goes, you know, goes through in her life. She'll just think of me, and I've had so many people say that to me. They go, when they're feeling down or sad or hurting or has a, you know, their knee hurts or whatever, they just think of me. And it helps them, like, just like a reality check. What am I whining about, kind of thing?
Well, you know, Cindy, I know at least to Alex and I, you're one heck of an inspiration in all that you do. not only in dog mushing, but, you know, in the mountain climbing and the scuba diving, everything that you've done, you've seemed to tackle by grabbing it by both horns and, you know, just doing whatever you could to make sure that it happened. And I can't say how excited I was when you finished the race. You know, we were rooting for you all the way. We talked about you a heck of a lot during our coverage this past year. I know we've covered you in previous years. We've had interviews with you and Alex on the show when you're out there on the trail. So you've gotten a heck of a lot of kudos from us, and we want to say thank you for providing at least us fans the excitement of you finally finishing the race this past year. I'm sure it was a heck of an accomplishment for you and your family. But I guess my next question is, you know, as you're going through life and you're sort of doing whatever you're doing, whether it's Everest or dog mushing, what was that one point that where you said, I've got to do this again? Was there something that kind of said, yep, that's it, I'm a veteran now, I've got to do it again, this has become a lifestyle? What was it that kind of just captured you from where you're at right now?
The dogs. Being out there with the dogs.
Of course.
The dogs. I just love those dogs so much, and they just love to run. Oh, my gosh, you know, and being out there just crossing, just in the back trails, you know, where the same trails you use. You know, just taking them out there and being out there away from everything and everything in life, and just being out in nature and with them. And I don't know, it's such an amazing experience, and I am so lucky to be able to do it.
Right, right. Alex?
Well, I guess that leads very well into my next question, which is, since you are moving up to Willow, do you have plans, thinking a few years into the future, that you're going to start breeding your own dogs and starting your own kennel? Or have you not thought that far in advance yet?
I won't ever own my own kennel. I think of Vern Halter's kennel as my own kennel, and he knows that. I say that they're my dogs. And actually, we bought four dogs. So I actually own dogs now. But they're all at Vern's kennel. And I think of his kennel as my kennel, and we get along fabulously, and so it's just sort of the perfect setup. You know, I have my house to go to. He has his house to go to in Susan, but the dogs are there, and so I don't know, it's like the perfect scenario. So no kennel for me. Vern's kennel is what I call my kennel.
Excellent.
For folks that don't know, where you're moving now is just a hop, skip, and a jump from Vern Halter's kennel on the trail, at least. It's a several-minute drive, but it's not very far from the kennel itself. And I would imagine if you're sitting out on your new back deck when the house is built, you'll probably be able to hear some of the dog kennels over here in the neighborhood. And I'm sure that every time that they're howling at 3 o'clock in the morning, it will wake you and think, I wish I was over there right now. But my next question, Cindy, is about your relationship with Vern Halter. In the past, he has been, you know, the role of mentor, coach, you know, the person that you could confide in getting you to Nome that first time. What is going to be his role going forward? Is it going to be that same sort of role, or you know, how do you guys see yourselves this year and in the next few years as mushing partners?
You know, that's a very interesting question, because we really have made a transition in that. And while Vern has, you know, 30 more years of mushing experience than I do, I mean, he's completed 18 Iditarods to my one and won the quest. But we have transitioned into a new relationship where, let's just say he trusts me now that, you know, with his dogs and things. And we're more, I don't want to use the word equals, we're friends. We're friends, and we both think similarly. We both care for the dogs in the same way. We both believe in the same way of running dogs. And So it's more of a partnership, but not a friendship
mm-hmm.
partnership. Does that make sense?
Of course, yeah. I mean, you've got to you always, you know, Vern's an excellent guy. I remember I ran the Tustamina 1 year, and it was the hardest race I'd ever done. I don't know if you've had that experience or not, but those are some – it's 100 miles of mountains. And I remember pulling in to Homer, and I was down to six dogs, and I had one in the bag, and he was there, and I told the checker, I said, that's the hardest thing I've ever done. I think I need to scratch. I don't have a leader. And I remember pulling into the dog yard and getting all set up, and he came over and said, you know, before you scratch, Robert, spend some time with the dogs, let them rest 6 hours or so, get a good meal into them, and really evaluate before you scratch. But whatever you do, it's your decision. And I will never forget him saying that. You know, he was providing that coaching to somebody that, you know, just a fellow musher. And when I was, you know, kind of down on my luck and just beating myself up, he provided that little pep talk that you needed. And I think that's one of the best roles that he plays. Do you agree?
Yes, he really is. He goes 1,000% in support. I mean, not even 100%.
Right.
It's 1,000%. It's that little bit of thing that makes such a difference sometimes, as you well know. But that's just how he is. He truly does care about the dogs and about the other people and about everybody's race, not just his.
Right, exactly. Alex, next question.
Well, first of all, here's an odd thing that you may or may not be aware of, Cindy. If you look on Iditarod.com and you look at the Musher archives, you are the first name that appears because it's alphabetical. So I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but it makes it very, very easy to find Cindy Abbott information on Iditarod.com. But I'm wondering, going into this next year's race, you know, for a long time when you were new and when you were a rookie, and when you were still officially a rookie, even though you'd run part of the race before, the goal was clearly to finish and to get your rare disease banner over the at the World Arch. But now that you've done that, I'm wondering, do you have any specific goals for what you want to do in this next year's race?
I just want to run a good race. That's it. Take good care of my dogs. It would be awesome to finish with all 16 dogs. That would be quite an accomplishment. We've got some up-and-coming rock stars, and by my book anyway. And so just to run a good race. You know, the Iditarod's hard, and it changes by the minute, just like climbing Everest. And just being out there and running that race, just like any musher would probably tell you, is running the best race you can. You know, I don't know, just running a good race.
So, Cindy, back to the documentary Banner on the Moon. I know when you were on the show last time, I asked you what was next, and you said you wanted to take that banner to the moon. I don't know if that's physically possible yet, but I know that you're a woman of very strong conviction, and you know, with everything that it shows in the documentary, all the places that you and your husband have gone, you say in the documentary that you guys have provided yourself with the opportunity to do things that you want to do, whether it be traveling or mountain climbing or dog mushing or whatever. Excuse me. What are you and your husband's plans in the coming future? What are you going to tackle next? You've done just about everything in terms of outdoor sports type stuff. What in the world are you guys going to do next off of that bucket list?
Well, actually, I would like to get that banner to the moon. And like you said, there's two private companies that have manned space vehicles now. One of them has a scheduled slingshot around the moon in 2018. And two seats
wow.
for sale. Of course, I can't afford them. So who knows? That banner might end up on the moon. So,
right.
But in the more immediate future, it's getting a house built in Alaska when you're living part-time in California and back and forth, and getting ready to run the Iditarod again. You know, running the Iditarod is, that's a year-round commitment.
Right.
So just right now we're focused on getting ourselves up to Alaska, getting settled in, running the next race, and then probably taking my husband on a nice scuba vacation to Indonesia or something. We got so many frequent flyer miles saved up. It's time to use them.
Nice. Alex, before you jump in with the next question, just a quick follow-up. When will your house be ready up here in Alaska where you guys can consider yourselves full-time residents and not have to do that 2,700-mile commute, as we mentioned?
Mid-October, according to the builder, and so far everything's been on schedule. And I've already declared Alaskan residency, so I'm already considering myself an Alaskan. I'm just down here getting things packed and ready to go, shipping things up and that kind of stuff. So I already consider myself Alaskan.
Excellent. Alex?
You know, keeping with that theme of considering yourself Alaskan, what do you feel will be, aside from not having to go fly back and forth all the time, what do you think will be the biggest change for you in terms of your mushing career when you're actually up in Alaska?
I can't even imagine how much more convenient it's going to be. Flying back and forth all these years has just been pretty ridiculous, actually, both cost-wise and time-wise and everything else. So to actually be able to, you know, feed the dogs, bed them down for the night, and that's where I live, I can't even imagine, actually, how different it's going to be. So I'm really looking forward to that and being involved with all the communities and the other mushers more and things like that.
So, Cindy, in the documentary, if I remember correctly, you flew down either on Christmas or right before Christmas here to Alaska, and at the time you were working with Lance Mackey, and I believe you said that you were living in a garden shed or something like that, in a pretty drastic contrast to your home there in California in the documentary compared to what you were staying at in Alaska. How much fun will it be to be able to have that Christmas tree or whatever you do to celebrate the holidays where you can do it in your own home versus having to spend the holidays, back and forth as you were? Are you excited about that?
No words to express it. That's what I was sort of getting at. And it was a shed out in the dog yard at a dry kennel. And so it was stunningly different. That's what I was getting at is I can't even imagine what it's going to be like, how nice it's going to be not to have to do that, to have my own house literally 6 miles from the kennel. I can hop on a snow machine, and I'm right on the trail system, right out of my backyard almost.
Right, right. Alex, one last question, and then we'll finish up with Cindy here.
Sure. Well, first, before we go, I just want to congratulate you and Larry and wish you guys an amazing adventure, an amazing continuing of your adventure. But I'm wondering, with all that you've learned now, with all that you've learned over the past 5 or 6 years, if you could tell 2011 or 2012 Cindy Abbott one thing that would help, what would that be?
Oh, I can't think of anything.
Okay.
That says a lot. That says a lot.
You just have to take it as it comes. I mean, that's just it. That's life, and it's mushing, and it's mountain climbing. So in retrospect, you know, there's nothing I could have told myself.
Excellent. That's an excellent way to look at things, I believe. So, Cindy, before we close here, tell people how folks can get in contact with you through the websites, through social media, et cetera. Where can they buy your documentary? I know when you and I talked, it was only available for rent off of the iTunes or whatever. How can folks get in touch with you and, you know, become fans of Cindy Abbott and spread that that wonderful message that you have with everything that you do?
Well, I think some of the sites you can actually buy the film, which is great for my teachers because then they can show it over and over in their classrooms. But contacting me, I am on Facebook, and then I have a website, reachingbeyondtheclouds.com, so people can contact me that way. And then the film has a website too, but probably Reaching Beyond the Clouds is the main website. And I post lots of pictures and updates, so people can keep track of me that way. And Facebook is probably the best way.
Well, Cindy, we wish you well for sure. Good luck in your journey. I'm sure we'll see each other out there on the trails in the coming winter. I can only hope that we have snow. It has been so difficult the last couple of years here on the home trails. Either it's been solid ice or we've had to travel, you know, sometimes hundreds of miles to find the snow. I guess, how do you feel about that? I know that you have a lot of miles under your belt going back and forth. But what do you think about this crazy climate that we have with the sport that we so enjoy?
Yeah, I'm with you, Robert. We really need, I hope the weather turns back to some kind of normal, because Vern and I would literally have to pack up and hit the trail and head hundreds of miles in either direction just to get training runs in. And then the races, you know, the mid-distance races were getting canceled, so that was more training we were losing. So it really was, in the last few years, very difficult to get the training and the miles in. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Excellent. We have a brand new segment to end the show, if you don't mind, Cindy. We provide recommendations, and that can be music, it could be books, it could be films, it could be documentaries. Anything that you're watching, listening to, reading about now that you could recommend to our listeners?
Oh, my goodness. Well, definitely Jeff Schultz's Chasing Dogs photo book that came out. I think it's been out about a year now. But if anybody's interested
right.
in the most amazing photographs of dog sledding and racing, I would highly recommend his book.
Excellent. And Alex, do you have a recommendation for us this week?
I do, actually. A guy that I went to college with named Bill Madison wrote a biography of Madeline Kahn that's called Madeline Kahn, Being the Music, A Life, which is really, really fantastic. And if you like Madeline Kahn from, you know, any of her movies, the Mel Brooks movies, or any of the other things that she's done, it's just a really fun and informative and wonderful book.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to go with Cindy. I totally agree with Jeff Schultz's book. We haven't talked about that here on the program, but if you get a chance, folks, that's one. If you are a mushing fan or a photography fan, especially for absolutely stunning pictures of up here in Alaska, that is definitely one that you have to check out. And if you can, follow him on Facebook. He posts some absolutely spectacular photos from the last frontier up here. So definitely going to second that recommendation on Cindy. Cindy, thank you very much for joining us. Good luck on your move up here to Alaska and all things that go with that. And welcome to the neighborhood, I guess. Hope to see you soon, and good luck on the races this year as well.
Yeah, see you on the trail, Robert.
Thank you. So on behalf of our guest today, Cindy Abbott, and my co-host, Alex Stein, we'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.